Going to be in the book of Job this morning. The book of Job. So if you could turn over to Job chapter number 1 to get us going here. And you know, Job's a very familiar part of Scripture, but if you read the book of Job, it should encourage us, right? It should give us an encouragement that God is sovereign. God is in control. Even those trials and those fiery darts and those storms and even those ailments that come upon us, you know, God is in control. God is in charge. And God allows things in our life because, like I've been trying to get it in teaching here, is God wants the glory in everything that we do. He wants the glory in everything that we do. He wants the glory in us, through us. And that's kind of the example of Job here today. So if you look here in Job chapter number 1, this one's going to be called Trusting God Beyond Your Understanding. Trusting God Beyond Your Understanding here. And if you look here in Job chapter number 1, look there in verse number 1. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Go down to verse 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? Now there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Hey, trusting God beyond your wildest imagination. Trusting God beyond all of your understanding. Let's look at that here today. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we are grateful here to be in your house, Lord. And we've all come expecting to hear from you, Lord. So I pray now that you fill me with your Spirit, Lord. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you fill me with your Spirit. I pray you give me your words. I pray you give me your wisdom. I pray you give me your clarity of thought here today to speak the truth of your word from your book, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you do what only you can do, and that's to speak of hearts here today. Hey, convict us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Hey, convict the lost that they need to be saved here today. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, have you ever been coasting through in life comfortable? Things are going great. All of a sudden, boom, the door slams shut. Life just seems like somebody pulled the rug out of underneath your feet and things just begin to crumble. Your life seems to crumble before your very eyes. Now, we've all been through times like that in our life, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a sad news, a difficult news, or even the death of a loved one. We've all had those storms come into our life. And here's the thing, every single one of us are going to have storms. We're going to have trials, we're going to have storms in our life. And Job says this in chapter 14 in verse 1. He says, "Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." Hey, we can all attest to that, right? Life is short, and within that life, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be storms. There is going to be a life that is full of trouble. Someone said that every person is either going through a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to go into a storm. But here's the thing about storms. They tell a lot about a person, don't they? Right? You can tell a lot about a person by how they act when they are going through a storm. You see, when you squeeze a lemon, what's inside of it is what comes out. You get lemon juice, okay? In the same way, these storms of life have a tendency to reveal what we're really like. And we can talk the talk, but do we walk the walk. In Luke chapter 6 and verse number 45, the Bible says, "A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil." And get this, he says, "For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." You say, where did that come from? It was in the heart. It was already in the heart. And from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Now the Bible tells us of a man by the name of Job here. He was a great man, but he was squeezed literally to the very brink of death. Job was a real person. He was just like you and I. He had flesh and blood. He had flesh and bone. He had the sin nature just like you and I. He lived in the real world just like you and I. He faced real problems just like you and I. He faced the real devil just like you and I. But Job said this in chapter 13 and verse 15. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." That's the key. That is the key. Do you trust him? No matter what is going on, do you trust him? Job made a decision. He purposed in his heart that no matter what came upon him, he was going to trust the Lord. I mean, Job went through some things. You know, we're going to look at some of the things he went through. He lost 10 children all at once. But in the midst of everything he went through, he says, "I will trust him." So the question is do you trust him? Do you trust him with your life? Do you trust him with the things, with your ailments, with everything that's going on in your life? Do you trust God beyond your understanding? Do you trust him with more than what you can just see in front of your eyes? You see, every single one of us are going through something right now. You got to understand that. We can go up and down the pews, and every single one of us has a trial, has a storm we are going through right now. That's the case. And the church is said to be the hospital for the sin sick. That's all of us, right? That's all of us. Nobody is better than anybody else here. If you're going to heaven, it's not because of anything you've done. All of my righteousness is as filthy rags. He paid it all on the cross of Calvary when he died and was buried and he rose again the third day. Jesus Christ shed his blood and died for each one of us. He died for everybody in the whole world. He died for all people of all mankind. And the Bible tells us here, hey, Job said, "I'm just going to trust him. I don't know what all this is upon me, but I'm just going to trust him." So do you trust God with everything? So today I'm going to give you some truths here from trusting God beyond your understanding. Number one here, I want you to see the circumstances of Job. The circumstances of Job. Look here in verse number one. The Bible tells us there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, Job was not a sinless man. That word perfect doesn't mean he was sinless. Jesus Christ is the only sinless one. He is the only one who could die for our sins because he's the only sinless one. Perfect here means that he was complete. Perfect here means that he was mature. Perfect here means he was everything that a man should be, and he lived his life in the fear of the Lord. He lived his life fearing the Lord. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 8:13 that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Right? There's your definition. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And Job was a man who feared God. He feared evil. That word eschewed there means to avoid. He avoided evil. He avoided all appearance of evil. He hated evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Right? Not only from evil, but all appearance. Anything that would be appearing as evil, we are to avoid that. We are to abstain from that. But now, Job wasn't like many Christians today. You see, many Christians today, we like to live on the edge. Job didn't live on the edge. Right? He wasn't listening to that ungodly CCM music. No. He was listening to good old hymns. Right? You see, Job didn't dress his kids like the world. He dressed his girls to dress like girls, to act like girls. He dressed his boys to act like men and to dress like men. You see, Job was a man of integrity. He lived a holy, separated life. In 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written," listen, "be ye holy, for I am holy." God says you're to be holy because he's holy. So I ask you the question, do you avoid evil? Do you avoid all appearance of evil, or do you snuggle up with it? Do you hate evil, or are you living right on the edge of it? You see, we can read Job, and there is a lot of lessons to get out of Job. You see, we can see here that Job was a godly man. He lived a godly life, but let me tell you, that is proof that just because you live a godly life doesn't mean storms aren't going to come into your life. Storms are still going to come, and that basically puts those health and wealth preachers out of a job. Okay? You read the Bible, people went through things. All right? People suffered affliction. People suffered ailments. I mean, look at Paul. Paul had all these things. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. Okay? He had a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed that God would take it from him. He says, "No, I'm not taking it from you. My grace is sufficient for thee." You see, part of the problem in our life, you know, we read a book of Job, we know that was a long time ago. But my problems today, I'm so inflicted with this and I'm so inflicted with that. God has a purpose for it. God has a reason for it. He's still trying to get the glory from you, but you're too focused on yourself. You won't look at anybody else. All you do is look at yourself. But this is just an example of life. Suffering is part of life. And here's the thing with Job. You know, Job didn't have a completed Bible. We have a 66-book completed Bible today that has every answer in it. Most of us don't open it. We leave it closed. It's there for so we can get the victory. Job didn't have a Bible, but here's the thing. He knew how to raise his kids. Look there in verse number 4. It says here, "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, Hey, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." He did this continually. He prayed for his kids. Hey, he raised his kids right, but you know, we have this sinful flesh. We have the old man nature. You know, it could have been that the kids committed sin and didn't even know it. And he loved his kids. He prayed for his kids. He was a good father, right? Job's kids weren't running around with the wrong crowd, right? They were around family. But Job knew that the possibility of sin in your life, in their life, was there. And so he offered up sacrifice continually. And so we read this here, and Job wasn't like a lot of Christian parents these days. A lot of Christian parents these days are very naive to the fact that their children, just because they were raised in church, their children have flesh on them. Right? And it still amazes me today that we give our kids cell phones. Why would we give a kid a cell phone? Can you please tell me that? You know, you give a kid a cell phone and you're opening them up to TikTok, to Twitter, to Snapchat, and you know what goes on. Parents, do you know what goes on those things? Right? You just read the articles on them, how people are bullying people on there, to the fact that they commit suicide on there. Right? But this is the cell phone that you gave them. You see, when I was growing up and when you grew up, you know, pornography was something you had to go somewhere to get. But now we give a child a phone and we put him in his room alone on the phone, and all they do is go through the internet. Hey, you don't even have to be searching for that stuff. It pops up. It pops up. And I read an article the other day about the Christians, people who grow up in church, children who are addicted to pornography. Why? Because their parents gave them a cell phone. Why? It makes no sense. But not Lot here, or not Job here. He wasn't naive like a lot of parents today is. But here's the thing. When it comes to that, we all have a free will. You and I have a free will. Our kids have a free will. And even in the... hold your place here, but turn over to Revelation chapter 20. I want you to see this. We say, "Oh, no, not my kid. My kid wouldn't do that." But let me tell you something. We all have flesh. We all have a sin nature, okay? That's the problem, is the sin nature. And in Revelation chapter 20, I want to read to you verses 7 and 8. You see here, this here is talking about the end of the millennial reign. The end of the 1,000 reign. Jesus Christ is going to be reigning on this earth for 1,000 years, okay? At the end of that, at the end of the great tribulation period, there's going to be people that are saved during that tribulation time, and they're going to cross over into the millennial reign here with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on this earth, and the earth is going to get repopulated. All right, the earth is going to be repopulated, and at the end of that 1,000 years is where we pick up here in verse 7. It says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle." Now get this, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. That's a whole lot of people. That's a whole lot of people that lived on this earth with Jesus Christ ruling and reigning during the millennial reign that are going to turn on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, they have a sin nature. Hey, they have a sin problem. Hey, they never got it. They lived on the free will of man. We all have a free will, okay? I think of the prodigal son. You see, the prodigal son went to the father and said, "Hey, I want my inheritance. I'm going to go out." And so the father gives the son the inheritance. And in the story, the prodigal father, the father is the representation of God. And the son is God's children. God's children rebel. God's children go astray. But you know what happened with that prodigal son? You know the story, right? The prodigal son came home. He came to that point where he repented and he came home. Parents, you got to get this. You got to get this. When that father gave the son the inheritance and that son went off, the parents didn't do this. The son goes, the parents go. You got to get this, okay? The parents, the father stood there. They stood on the Word of God. They stood on the truth, okay? So when that son repented and he needed to come home, he knew where the parents was. Too many parents today, when their child goes astray, they're going along with them. They're going along with them. They lost them. They lost them. And so the child is ready to repent and come back home, but they don't know where home is. What was good for the parent one day is no longer good for them because they've shifted. And so what does the child do? You lost them. You got to stay true to the Word of God. Job wasn't a part-time father. He wasn't a part-time believer. He lived like this every day. But too many Christians live one way on Sunday and another way the rest of the week. You see, we got to get grounded on the truths of God, the truths of His Word, because the children, your kids, will see that hypocrisy in you. Oh, well, you know, church wasn't that important to my dad. You know, he worked on Sunday. He worked on Wednesday. He worked on Saturday. And so we didn't really, weren't really grounded in those things. And when he wasn't working, you know, he did golf and he did go fishing and he did go do this and that. And hey, we did go on vacation a lot. Hey, let me tell you about this. Vacation is a good thing, isn't it? But on vacation, you don't take a vacation from God. You take a vacation from your job if that so is the case. But you don't take a vacation from God, do you? You should still be in church. You go to a place, make sure they got a church. Make sure they got a church. All right, we just went on a vacation, but we made sure that they had a church. We had to drive 45 minutes to get to a good church, but we did it. Why? Because God said to do it. God said be faithful. The time before that, a couple years ago, we went on a trip. I had to drive over an hour and 15 minutes. But you know what? We did it. Right, we wanted to go on a vacation, but we weren't taking a vacation from God. You know, our kids see that. And if they see that it's not very much important to you, you're going to lose your kids. You're going to lose them because what we do in moderation, the kids will do in excess. So we see here that there's a meeting between the Lord and Satan. Look there in verse 8. It says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Now, what I want you to get out of this, I want you to notice that God here initiates the conversation. He initiates the conversation. He drew attention to Job, and it's just a reminder that God is sovereign. God is in control. Satan cannot do anything to you or to I without the approval of the Lord. He cannot do it. And so let's read on here and let's see what happened to Job here. Look at verse 13. It says, "And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So what happened here? He lost everything. He lost his livestock. He lost his livelihood, his money, and he lost his 10 kids. He lost his 10 kids all at once. In one day, everything is gone. But you know what Job did? He just trusted the Lord. He just trusted God beyond all his understanding. And the thing of it here, too, is this suffering was not random. God allowed it. You got to get it. God allowed it. Even whenever Satan sought to afflict Job, he could only do it within the limits set by God, within the boundaries. Nothing happens outside of those boundaries that God does not allow. We need to get this. Just because we live right doesn't mean we're going to have a healthy, wealthy life. Things happen. People hurt people. God allows things in our life. The devil attacks, but it's only in the parameters of the Lord. But what Job did was he just worshipped the Lord. Look there in verse 20. It says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." Hey, Job didn't say, "Oh, I quit this. This Christianity is too hard. I'm not going to that church anymore. They offended me." Did you see what that deacon did? Did you see what that preacher said? "Oh, I'm not going there anymore. No, look at verse 21 there. It says, "And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And get this, in verse 22, he says, "In all this," you get that, "in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Now, Christians, a lot of times, when something happens to us, we're quick to open our mouth and say something, aren't we? We're quick to say something, to make a judgment, to pass judgment, to open our mouth. But here's the thing. One day we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you stand before Him at that throne. And every single word that we've spoken, we give an account for. You get that? Every single word we give an account for. A lot of Christians that day are going to be sorry for a lot of things that we said. And we won't be able to take them back once a word is spoken. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? When we stand there at that judgment seat of Christ, hey, we're going to wish we didn't say some things. We won't be able to stand behind that pride. Hey, we won't be able to stand behind Facebook, right? We won't be able to stand behind, "I'm going to put this on you." Right? No. You're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does Satan do? Job just worships. Look here in chapter 2. Look in Job chapter 2 and verse number 4. He comes back to the Lord here and he says, "And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath he will give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." Verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Head to toe, the devil inflicted him. Satan inflicted him head to toe, but it was all under God's authority. You get that? It was all under God's authority. God was in control of the situation. God started the dialogue. God brought up Job's name. God established the ground rules from the beginning to the end. Does that not comfort your heart here today? What is it you're going through? What trial? What tribulation? What storm? What battle are you going through? God has allowed it in your life. He has set the boundaries. He has set the guidelines. Devil can't do anything outside of those boundaries. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" God controls everything. Nothing in this world should move me. Nothing in this world should get me to the point where I fear, right? Too many times this storm comes and first thing we do is pout. Why me? Why this? Why now? But again, He controls the storm. He controls the storm and He allows those storms in our life because He wants the glory. As we look at Job here, we see in all this, Job sinned not. Job did not sin. But what about you? What about me? How does things in our life affect us? Do we let the circumstances of our life defeat us? What about when somebody pulls out in front of you on the highway? Do we lose our testimony? Something as simple as that. Do we lose our testimony? It takes a lifetime to get a testimony, and it takes 1 second to lose it. Job's testimony is this. He worshiped the Lord. So secondly, I want you to see that. I want you to see Job's testimony. Job's testimony, number two, was that he worshiped the Lord. We saw that in verse 20. Job 1:20 says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshiped the Lord there." Even the most intense grief that Job was going through, the loss of 10 children. The loss of 10 children. None of us can fathom that. We can't imagine that. And when that happened, Job just worshiped the Lord. Lesson for us, when trials come, when storms come, James 4:8, we need to draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Proverbs 3:5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Hey, when that storm comes upon us, it's going to do one of two things. It's either going to draw us to God, it's going to draw us closer to God. We're going to do what the Bible says. We're going to draw nigh to God in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to His purpose. You get that? His purpose, not mine, not yours, but according to His purpose. So when we grasp that, when we grasp what Job has grasped so far, we realize that we can rest upon the Lord and that we can get close to Him. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Okay? But also, that might drive us away from God. You know Judas, right? Judas betrayed Jesus Christ. And in Matthew 27:5, the Bible says here that he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. You see, trials can drive us away from God. Instead of getting right with the Lord, instead of repenting, Judas went and hung himself. What trial are you going through? What tribulation? What storm? God will use these trials to bring out the best in us so that He can get the glory. He wants the glory. Job's testimony was he worshiped God. He could have blamed God. He could have done a lot of us do. We blame God. Listen to what Job's wife said. If you turn over to Job chapter 2, look there in verse 9. He says here, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." That's his wife saying this. Right? His wife gets a lot of his wife gets a lot of strife from people. She says, "Curse God and die." But that's exactly what Satan wanted, isn't it? That's what Satan wanted to accomplish. And now here, his wife says that. But here's the thing. Remember, his wife lost everything as well. She is hurting. people say things when they're hurting, don't they? She lost 10 kids. She lost everything else. And here is her husband, who is unrecognizable. He's got sore boils from his head to toe. He's going through all this. And his wife just says, curse God and die. Job looks like he's going to die. But it's interesting, though, because God doesn't rebuke her. He doesn't rebuke her, does he? No. She lost everything. Look here in verse number 10. He says, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? You see, he didn't say you are a foolish woman. He said you're talking like one of those foolish women. Job's wife wasn't a foolish woman. He wouldn't have married her. But she is broken. Again, she's broken. She doesn't know that God's going to give them another 10 kids, does she? Nope. All right, so here we're moving on. Look there in verse 11. Now what happens with Job is his friends show up. He says here, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon them, they came everyone from his own place. Right? Move on down to verse 13. I want you to see here in verse 13. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days, get this, 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now, his friends also get a lot of strife, don't they? But think about it, must have been really good friends. Do any of us have friends that would leave their family, leave their jobs, leave their friends, and come sit with us when we're sick for 7 days and 7 nights? Right? His friends came 7 days, 7 nights, but here's the thing. Up until this point, Job had praised the Lord. His friends show up and they don't speak. They look at each other. They're quiet. Job quit praising the Lord. His friends show up, no more praising the Lord. As a reminder, we need to be praising the Lord. But in Job chapter 3, look at verse 1. He says, after this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. He cursed his day. He didn't curse God. He cursed his day. Listen, a lot of things we speak, again, we don't need to speak them. Job's friends weren't wrong about everything. We're going to look at that here in just a minute. But in Job chapter 19, verse 25, the Bible says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Hey, do you know Jesus Christ as your Redeemer? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. What we've earned because of our sin is death. And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is eternal judgment. In a place where God does not want you to go. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God loves you. He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. He shed His blood, died on that cross of Calvary. He was buried, and He rose again the third day, rose victoriously, conquered the grave, conquered death, conquered sin. And the Bible says, if you come to Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You must receive Him as your Savior, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, if you're here today, have you received that free gift of salvation? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus Christ is it. He is the only way. You will die and go to hell if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I got to get you my last point here. My last point, we're going to see Job's deliverance. If you could slip over to Job chapter 32. All right, got to finish here. Job's deliverance here in Job chapter 32. In verse number 1, I want you to see here, the Bible says, so these three men ceased to answer Job because, get this, he was righteous in his own eyes. Job now justifies himself instead of the Lord. And see, his friends weren't quite so wrong about everything, were they? And so God is going to rebuke Job in chapter 38. If you could flip over to chapter 38, I want you to see this here. God is going to start rebuking Job here. In Job 38, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?'" Look at verse 3. "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer thou me." Hey, look, all that Job went through, he's still scraping the pus off of all his sores, and God says, "Get up and act like a man." Oh, he didn't feel sorry for him, did he? He wasn't having throwing a pity. "Oh, my man Job, way to go, Job." No, he says, "Get up, gird up now thy loins like a man." Hey, you see, the problem with Christians and people today is we do not know how to suffer. Oh, what trial can I take this from? Oh, you don't understand all my suffering and pain. Job understood about suffering and pain. How did God react to Job? He said, "Get up, get up, get up." God doesn't owe us a happy life. He doesn't owe us a wealthy life. He doesn't owe us anything. All He owes us is eternal damnation. And that's why He sent His Son to die for us. Right? He doesn't owe us more money. He doesn't owe us a happy life. All He owes us is eternal death. But here's the thing. He wants us to glorify Him. He wants to get the glorification. Are we glorifying God? Are we getting angry with Him? Look there in turn over to chapter 40. Look there in verse number 6. Again, I want you to see this here. Job 40, verse 6 and 7 says, "Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said," again, "gird up thy loins now like a man." Right? And so God goes on and He asks Job some 80-some questions. He doesn't really give him time to answer. He says, "Gird up thy loins like a man." You see, people today, we get mad at God. "Oh, I'm not going to that church. I'm not going." Oh, God, right? Why don't we try something different and get mad at the devil? Why don't we get mad at Adam and Eve? You see, God is still God. He is still on the throne. And you see, Job finally realizes that and he humbles himself in chapter 42. If you could flip to Job 42, Job's going to say here in verses 1 to 3, in Job 42 says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me which I knew not.'" He realized who God was. He realized God is right. He realized there that Jesus, that God here, there's nothing else to do but repent in verses 5 and 6. He says, "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." You see, God, Job saw the greater picture here. He came to that understanding that all this wasn't happening because of sin in his life. He came to the understanding that all this was happening so that God could get the glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." That's what He wants in our lives. And so I ask you this today. Are we glorifying God? We finished the chapter out in verse 10 there of 42. Job 42:10 says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job," meaning He freed Job, "when he" what? "When he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before." And so we finished it up there. Look in verse 12. It says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the names of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren-Hapuk." Hey, so as I conclude here today, do you praise the Lord for everything in your life? Whether it's good or whether it's bad. Hey, it's no surprise when you're in the hospital. It's no surprise that you're in the nursing home. Hey, it's no surprise with the family that you have. Hey, it's no surprise that God has you in the work center He has you in. He has a purpose, and that purpose is for Him to get the glory. So what's your testimony like? Is our testimony like Job's? If we're going through trials today, how do we react? Would you still praise the Lord if we lost a fraction of what Job lost that day? With Job as our example, would we still worship the Lord? I want you to remember this. Job's not remembered for his triumphs. He's remembered for his trials and what he went through. So how do you want your life remembered? How do you want your life remembered? Trusting God beyond your understanding. Let's pray.